From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A massive walkout of workers with the online furniture retailer Wayfair made headlines last month. Under the banner of Wayfair Walkout, hundreds of employees marched to protest the company's contract with immigration authorities to provide beds and other furniture to detention centers. But Wayfair seems to think it has weathered the storm, announcing a Black Friday sale in July. Now some activists are discussing the possibility of a boycott. My guest Saira Rao has written about the responsibility of the South Asian American community to hold the CEO accountable. Neeraj Shah, Wayfair's co-founder and CEO, is a first-generation Indian American. Saira Rao joins me now. She's a former congressional candidate, co-founder of In This Together Media, Race to Dinner, and Healing from Hate. Her forthcoming memoir is called Broken News, and her article in the magazine India Abroad is called Wayfair's CEO Neeraj Shah is One of Us. We must hold him accountable. Welcome to the program, Saira.
Thanks, Sonali. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. So, First of all, how important was the actual protest, the walkout of employees that highlighted that Wayfair had this contract with the government and really showed some courage, I think, on the part of the workers?
Oh, amazing courage. And it was incredibly important. We wouldn't have known about it otherwise, right? I mean, social media is incredibly powerful, and they got Wayfair, hashtag Wayfair walkout to trend and really put the spotlight on not only what Wayfair is doing, but what lots and lots of companies in this country are doing. They're profiting off of the pain of suffering of others and children among them. So really grateful to the Wayfair employees for doing that amazing work.
Now, some have suggested, Kevin Drum, for example, in Mother Jones magazine said, well, you know, shouldn't we be happy that the immigration authorities are working with a company like Wayfair to make detention centers more comfortable? Because we were denouncing the fact that they were horribly uncomfortable, poor hygiene, overcrowding, kids didn't even have toothbrushes. So why should we decry the fact that they're getting beds?
Yeah, sure. And that's a common thing that I'm hearing and the coalition is hearing. Look, Sonali, if we're committed to ending child camps, then we can't just make them prettier and nicer and think that that's enough. Food and water and beds, we're saying let's make them better. Compromises our ability to actually say we need to end the camps now. It's a slippery slope. And frankly, I mean, would anyone argue making the concentration camps during the Holocaust, World War II, better and nicer was the way to go? We wanted to end them just like we want to end them now.
So let's talk about Wayfair itself. As I mentioned, that Wayfair seems to have thought that it's weathered the storm. Its stock did tank a little bit, but they kept relatively quiet in the face of the walkout. They had a big sale earlier this month. Do you think that they feel like they've been let off the hook?
You know, I'm sure a lot of these companies feel like they've been let off the hook, and the reason they feel that way is because they have been let off the hook. I mean, like, I've been talking about this with friends. There's been very little media around just the tons and tons of companies profiting off of this fascism. Deloitte and Touche, you know, actually profiting off the fascism. Amazon, we all use Amazon, profiting off the fascism. And, you know, no real big mainstream media news outlets have done a comprehensive deep dive on all the companies that are profiting off of other people's pain right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think they do feel like they've been let off the hook. And I think that a lot of these companies do because they kind of have. So what I think we need to do, I mean, if we're looking specifically at Wayfair, Neeraj Shah and I are sort of apples to apples, first generation Indian Americans, roughly the same age. We have to hold our own accountable, right? We have to hold our own accountable. And as a country, I think we have to start boycotting these companies that are profiting off of the pain and suffering of other people, frankly. And you know, a lot of people are talking about it now, and I really hope that we start to see that in mass.
So Neeraj Shah, as a South Asian American with an immigrant background, you would think would be able to relate to what other immigrants are going through. And so do you feel that that's an important thing to point out, that as immigrants ourselves, that solidarity is critical?
Absolutely, Sonali. And so I'd love to talk about that a little bit. You know, if you look at South Asians living in this country, let's just take a step back. White supremacy destroyed India. The British committed genocide. Lots of people don't like to use that word when talking about British colonialism, but the British committed genocide. And a big reason why so many of us are here in this country is because of that. And I feel like so many members of the South Asian American community have forgotten that and have really allied themselves with the model minority, idea, falsity, myth, and feel like we don't have to, you know, do anything in terms of helping other people. And by the way, like, you know, in my India Abroad piece, I talked about this. Okay, fine. It's just good practice to not aid and abet fascists. So we should care about it for that reason. But Donald Trump's immigration policies and his draconian policies are coming after our own. And so if you actually just don't even care about other people besides yourselves, he's coming for us. And we all have to have our eyes wide open and put our foot down and start, you know, standing up and speaking out against what's happening, because, you know, we're next. We're not even next. It's happening to our communities now as we speak.
Right. It's one tends to hear media coverage focusing entirely on Central American migrants or Mexican immigrants, but there are immigrants from all over the world that are impacted, whether or not they come in via a legalized process with documents or they cross the border seeking asylum. And Indian Americans are certainly not immune to the hate that the Trump-loving Americans have shown them. I mean, there have been deaths by people committing hate crimes against Indians.
Yes, it's frankly out of control. Now we're seeing, you just saw out of Texas, a young American kid who's born and raised in Dallas, Texas, was just held in detention for 3 weeks. I mean, it's all over the place, and we have to hold ourselves and each other accountable. And as an Indian American woman, I feel like it's my duty to just beg and plead with Neeraj Shah. So let me do it again right now. Neeraj Shah, please stop doing business with the Department of Homeland Security. They are fascists. There's no due process. There's no accountability. Please stop. You have power here. And frankly, if Wayfair stops, imagine the domino effect that could happen with other companies saying, okay, you know, aside from it being good to not do business with fascists, optically, we have to create a situation where it looks so bad for them that they feel like they cannot continue to do business with DHS.
On the story of the Dallas teenager who was held, the natural-born U.S. citizen who was held in detention for 3 weeks after he was released, he reportedly, he said that he had lost 26 pounds. The conditions were so bad in the detention center that he just simply didn't have adequate food to eat. Pretty remarkable. And certainly DHS and all of these immigration agencies have made plenty of mistakes. Now, as far as you know, has Neeraj Shah said anything? Has anybody from Wayfair issued any kind of a response to the Wayfair walkout?
I think, you know, right when it happened, there was a statement from the leadership. Shah and his co-founder said something to the effect of, you know, we think it's bad business to not fulfill orders. I mean, would he say it's crazy to me. Would he say that about Japanese internment camps? Would he have said that about the World War II concentration camps? It's bad business. You know what the bad business is, Mr. Shah? The bad business is doing business with fascists. That's the bad business. And so that's the only statement that I'm aware of. And I agree with you, Sonali. I feel like they kind of think that, you know, it's over for them. They're all good now.
Now, it's interesting when we look at history, it's so much easier to look back and say, oh, the internment was wrong. The concentration camps in Nazi Germany were wrong. The Chinese Exclusion Act was wrong. But some of the same forces that are today either overtly supporting similar things or tacitly supporting them have trouble seeing the parallels and claim that there's a strong difference between the past and today. But isn't real courage calling it out when you're seeing it in the present? It's easier to condemn something that's already happened and you have no control over.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think one of the billion reasons American exceptionalism is so violent and destructive is that we seem to think that we're impervious to the past. This has happened throughout time and space. Fascism has happened throughout time and space, and it's happening right now. And we all have to look in the mirror and see how we are participating and stop that. And so that's what, you know, we're asking Neeraj Shah to do. He's made something like $2 billion, you know, like, come on, can you not care about anything besides making more money for yourself? There are children, by the way, Sonali, there are children in these camps that look like his children. Mm. You know, like they look like young Indian kids because you know what? Some of them are young Indian kids. So what gives? Like, stop, just stop. And I say this for all Americans, you know, it's happening right now. It's people keep saying, you know, this doesn't bode well for what's going to happen in the future. It's already not boding well. It is happening now. We have concentration camps in this country. We are letting people die on our watch, and you and I are paying for it. Right? We are paying for this with our tax dollars. So the fact that so many people in this country are completely complacent and indifferent and apathetic, it's disgusting. And, you know, in 20 years, 30 years, assuming we still have civilization and the earth hasn't burned, people like, you know, white folks, frankly, are going to win Oscar awards for movies based on the fascism that happened today, where people who look like them are portrayed as saviors. We've seen this before and we're going to see it again.
Neeraj Shah, going back to what you were saying about how successful he's been, he literally became a billionaire 2 years ago. Within just years of starting his business, he was in, you know, listed at Fortune's 40 under 40. So he's found success very, very early in life. And I'm wondering, I want to pick up on what you said earlier about this idea of especially South Asian Americans and Asian Americans in general being sort of stereotyped as a model minority against which to uphold other ethnic minorities and racial minorities. There are, of course, some people like Neeraj Shah who do tremendously well and can say, oh, look, the American dream is working for me. And I'm wondering if you can reflect on that and how, you know, we live in this country where immigrants are pitted against one another.
Right. I mean, like, that's a critical component of white supremacy, right, is keeping us all down by having us compete with each other, the crabs in the barrel scenario. The model minority myth was created specifically for that. So go back and read, you know, the 1965 Immigration Act and read some of the congressional hearings around that. I mean, this was a conscious decision for Asian Americans, Indian Americans. I can speak to directly because I'm first generation here, to essentially make, you know, like Black people feel like, oh, look, why are you not as successful as us? And that has worked. And, you know, I talk a lot about this anti-Blackness in the South Asian community, and it's all part and parcel of the same thing. It's to keep us divided and to keep patriarchal white supremacy in place. And it's really disgusting to see Indian Americans actually fall for that hook, line, and sinker, which Neeraj Shah clearly has. And has forgotten where his family comes from and has obviously forgotten what happened to Indians in India at the hands of the British.
Do you think there's a split within the South Asian community here in the United States? Because on the one hand, you know, you have people like Nikki Haley who are more than happy to be on the side of the Republican Party and Trump. You know, of course, the Dinesh D'Souza's. I mean, you can name many people. On the other hand, you do have Pramila Jayapal, or, you know, there are very, very powerful progressive voices in the South Asian community as well.
Yeah, of course. We're not a monolith, right? Like, it's we come in all different stripes and ideologies. It would be great to see more Pramila Jayapals. That's, you know, yeah. That's what I have to say about that. It would be great to see more of her. She's amazing. And there are lots of us in this space. I don't mean to imply otherwise. But, you know, if you're in a situation where you're running a super successful company and you've made $2 billion and by the time you're 40 something, the least you can do is not do business with fascists. That's it. It's a pretty low bar. I feel like it's a pretty low bar.
Right. It's not even that people are calling on him to speak out against the conditions at the detention center, like the squad of four congresswomen of color did, Yana Presley and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who whose attacks, who were the targets of attacks most when they began speaking out about conditions at detention centers, right? I mean, their visit to the border and their calling out of the horrific conditions then got lost in the noise around Trump attacking them.
And frankly, trying to get them killed. So let's call it the thing. That's what Donald Trump is doing, and that's what everybody who's retweeting Donald Trump is doing, and that's what everybody who's in the Democratic Party who's not standing up is doing. And that, by the way, is what Nancy Pelosi and the party establishment is doing by not impeaching the man who's trying to get them killed. So let's all be very clear about what's happening here and stop, you know, mincing words, because Donald Trump is trying to get those four women killed and their own colleagues are doing nothing to stop it. And let's not forget that Nancy Pelosi and Maureen Dowd started this whole thing. Started the whole thing with Donald Trump. So there's layers and layers. There's many institutions at play dealing with the fascism. But I do want to say this. Like, we have a situation where we know that people are not being fed adequately, right? We know that people don't have toothbrushes. They're getting showers every 3 to 6 weeks. We know that people are dying. If all you can do is to not profit off of that, just do it. That's it. That's all we're asking Niraj Shah and Wayfair, to stop profiting off of that. And to that, it's been met with silence. And I think that is despicable. And he and the heads of all these other companies, including Jeff Bezos, have a moment now to be on the right side of history. And it looks pretty clear that they're choosing to be on the wrong side of history. And they're going to have to live with that.
And a lot of these CEOs, of course, to attempt to cast themselves as socially liberal, right? I mean, Niraj Shah is supposedly a philanthropist who works with inner city schools. Jeff Bezos, you know, and Mark Zuckerberg talk about policies that they claim are socially liberal and democratizing or strengthening democracy. So they claim to uphold these liberal values. But when it comes to the actual bottom line, which is their company's profitability, they're only too happy to take advantage of, as you put it very well, fascism.
It's violent hypocrisy. And, you know, like, let's talk about Facebook for a minute. Mm. Facebook and Mr. Zuckerberg are actively silencing brown and black women talking about these things. Mm. Actively. I'm like in Facebook jail just for even thinking the word fascism or even thinking the word white person. So they're all doing their great part to make sure that the status quo stays the status quo and that they continue to get richer at the expense of people's lives and children's lives. And they need to live with that.
What do you think is a good way to hold these CEOs accountable? I mentioned that there is now some talk of a potential boycott on Wayfair. I mean, you know, boycotts require mass mobilization to actually be effective. And then when we're talking about so many companies and boycotting all of them, you know, does it dilute our power? Is it even practical? Should that be one prong out of multiple prongs? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you say is correct. And you know, we're all thinking about this. We're talking about this. There are a whole lot of ideas being tossed around. I would just go back. It's so small, Sonali, but it's talk about it in your communities. I put this in the India Abroad article. Talk about it with your communities. Bring it up in your place of worship. Make sure you're talking about this with your friends. I mean, it's that simple. Like, have the conversations. There's still a very small percentage of us who are in this space having the conversations. Have the conversations. And yes, I think step two has to be, we have to stop making it alluring for these guys to continue making money. Frankly, they're not going to, you know what, left to their own devices, we've seen, left to their own devices, they're not going to do the right thing. They're not going to do the right thing. So we have to start, you know, getting them where it matters, and that's in their pocket. And, you know, there are some companies who've already started, like Marriott, I think recently just said that they weren't going to house folks rounded up by ICE and some airlines as well. We just have to get the ball rolling and make this uncool, rather than awesome for them to keep profiting.
I'm wondering if you saw Ilhan Omar's op-ed on Thursday in the New York Times, which I thought was just a powerful piece entitled, "It's Not Enough to Condemn Trump's Racism." And she wrote something that I thought was really important. Racial fear prevents Americans from building community with one another, and community is the lifeblood of a functioning democratic society. Throughout our history, racist language has been used to turn American against American in order to benefit the wealthy elite. I mean, that sort of speaks to what we were just saying, is that these companies are making money, even if they might verbally say they don't agree with what Trump is doing. They feel, well, a contract is a contract, and if I make a few dollars, so be it.
And let's be clear. I mean, everything she says is amazing, and I have my hats off to Representative Omar. Let's be clear. The people in these camps, rotting away, dying, you know, unshowered, underfed, malnourished, are not Norwegian and Australian, you know? Like, these people in these camps are Black and brown people. So this is straight up white supremacy. And let's go back to calling a thing a thing. Like, we are actively harming, traumatizing, and killing people of color on the border, and we're
children.
Paying for it.
Children.
And we're paying for it. We're paying for it. So for me, you know, I look at Niraj Shah and I look at these members of Congress who don't have the strength and the bravery and the morals of the squad and some of their awesome colleagues, Pramila Jayapal among them. And we look at them and we think, you're so lucky because you have power. You have power to end this. You actually have power to end this. And, you know, we don't have that kind of power, Sonali. I'd love to have a huge company and be able to stop doing business with the DHS and set an example and so on and so forth.
We're using the little power we do have by speaking out, which is not
as much. We are, but I'm saying these people have power. Use your power. Use your power for good rather than evil. And we're in a moment right now where we can do that. And, you know, Representative Omar is doing that at her own great peril. I can only imagine the amount of threats that she receives on a daily basis. And she's got three small children. She must be very scared. And she's using her power for good. All Niraj Shah has to do, he doesn't even have to do that, right? All he has to do is say, you know what? I'm just not going to do business with the Department of Homeland Security anymore. That's it. Not hard. Not hard.
Right. I mean, he might earn a fraction of a billion less by taking that step. Finally, one of the things that has been quite heartening with the recent reports that of the 2,000 or so people that ICE had targeted in its list to round up and deport people who've lived in this country for a long time, they ended up arresting only 35. Still, of course, 35 too many, but a much smaller fraction of the 2,000 than they wanted to. And some reports were citing community action as a reason why that number was so small. We heard the story in, I believe it was Tennessee, I think, where a group of neighbors formed a human chain to stop the deportation of a father that lived in their community. And so there is that sort of solidarity on, at least on a neighbor-to-neighbor level, that we don't hear enough about, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think that it's wonderful. We are getting the word out. People are talking. Social media is important, which is why shutting down, putting people like us in Facebook jail is very dangerous. You know, the word got out and lots of people were putting the call out for, here, know your rights. If you see somebody getting approached by ICE, what you can do. And it's working. We just got to keep growing our numbers. The movement's getting stronger and stronger every day. And we just can't forget that.
I want to thank you so much, Saira, for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article about Niraj Shah from our website.
Awesome. And boycott Wayfair.
Thank you so much. Saira Rao is a former congressional candidate, co-founder of In This Together Media, Race to Dinner and Healing from Hate. Her forthcoming memoir is called Broken News. And her article in India Abroad is called Wayfair CEO Niraj Shah is One of Us. We Must Hold Him Accountable. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.